Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning. Welcome. It's the Home Improvement Show, the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. Can't forget to add that. We appreciate that. I'm David Doval.
And I'm Lauren Acosta Huckleberry with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Welcome, Lauren. Glad you came in.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's our second Saturday. That's our tradition. Has been for many years now, and hopefully it'll continue. We're answering home improvement questions with some emphasis on heating, air conditioning, and ventilating. So get those questions ready. I'm not sure if Scott or Levi from Charlotte Comfort Systems will be joining us. We'll look for them. We were expecting them, but you never know. Hard to get in the parking lot. I don't know what's going on.
It really was a challenge this morning. All the roads were closed.
Yeah, everything. It's all changing down here. Everything's getting tore down and rebuilt, and it's new, and it's going to be beautiful. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I haven't seen our smiling face of Chris for a while, so it's good to see you, Chris. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that. So it's been a busy week. John's off this week, by the way. He's got some Home Depot business he's taking care of, and he'll be back with us next week. And he sends his love, and I know he's enjoying his day off, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But so, Lauren, we could talk some HVAC today. Anything crazy going on out there? I know we've got some new equipment coming online.
Absolutely, yeah.
So is that 2023?
Yep, so okay. 2023, essentially, there's just new minimum standards of what manufacturers can produce and what we as contractors can install. And so those changes go into effect January 1.
Okay.
So essentially, they're just raising the minimum efficiency is what's happening.
Okay. And so with that, did I understand correctly the units are going to be a little bigger too?
Some definitely are. So to get some of that increased efficiency, one of the ways to make that happen is literally with bigger equipment, more surface area that you can get rid of the heat. Or pick up heat with. Yeah. So to get that, you got to have more surface area. So one of the ways that a lot of manufacturers are getting that accomplished is bigger equipment.
So that makes sense. So I guess maybe in situations in townhomes and apartments and things of that nature, it could be a little dicey because sometimes the areas, they don't leave a lot of area for those units, and they're already
tight
and pushing the edge, right, for ventilation. And we talk about that a lot, too, not just for the new units, but for folks that have existing units, is to make sure we keep those areas clear and no weeds. Don't put them up against. Don't build a deck beside them. Don't build a deck over them.
Yeah.
That's important because that is where they give off their heat and where they take on heat. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. So the change that's going into effect January 1 is for more energy efficient equipment. At one point, it was going to be that we were changing the minimum standards and that we were going to be changing the type of refrigerant that the equipment uses. That at least has gotten pushed back a little bit, pushed back to 2025. So there was a little bit of grace, I guess, given to manufacturers.
Yeah. We just got through the other one, right?
Yes.
That was it's just barely in the rearview mirror.
Right. So that goes into effect 2025, but there's also like a lot of things that have been passed recently in the government to be able to give some tax credits to homeowners. So let me see if I can find them. So there's a energy efficiency home improvement tax credit. It's the 25C tax credit, and that is going to give homeowners up to $600 on a qualified air conditioner or furnace, or up to $2,000 on a qualified heat pump or heat pump water heater. And so that's just one program. There's another program that is part of an inflationary tax reduction that was put through as well that is going to enable states to provide up to $14,000 in direct rebates to it's geared to more to low to meet moderate income households.
Right.
And so everybody's going to have to get with their tax professional to sort of figure out
what that's
you know, be. What exactly that looks like. Cause there's, but it's interesting because it's going to be not just on installing qualified heat pumps, but also if somebody's looking to do an upgrade to their electrical panel or to the
or to the
electrical wiring within their home or insulating their home or better sealing their home will be different levels in which somebody can qualify for this.
Sure. Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well today about insulation. We'll get into the electrical side because I know you guys have moved into that, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Talk to your dad a little bit off the air on multiple occasions about generators and all of that. And he was excited about that.
Yeah.
And I know the electrical kind of goes hand in hand with you guys. It's helpful on the permitting side of it because you're not having to wait for an outside electrician to come in and get a system back up and running. You guys get your job done, but then you're trapped.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's an issue. And that's one of the things that goes on behind the scenes that people don't understand and recognize in the businesses is that you have to have two people. And of course, if you don't have a gas license, which I know you all do, but some companies don't.
Right.
So they can't do the gas connections. It could be a problem.
Yep.
So it's something to think about, but lots to talk about. We're just about at a break. So we'll get ready to take it, but give us a call 704-570-1110. We're talking home improvement, HVAC. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm Dave Doval.
And I'm Lauren Acosta Huckleberry with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
That's like the new Home Depot Home Improvement Show line. When we had to add that in, we were like, wow.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It gets it done, though.
Yeah.
Hey, we're glad everyone joined us. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. Talking home improvement, a lot of emphasis on HVAC. So we talk about the heating and cooling a lot. And then I think we'll talk a little bit about ventilating today, too, because people forget that falls under the moniker of
absolutely.
And it's licensed. All that stuff's licensed. I think a lot of people don't realize it. And there's codes for all of that stuff that need to be followed, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You gotta make sure you got enough fresh air within a space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, homes, you see them, you know, when they're under construction where they, you know, they're wrapping them with that plastic, right? And so, you know, it's helped to make the home more energy efficient, but then it also on some level doesn't allow the home to breathe.
Right.
And so the code has changed to make that, you know, mandated that, okay, so we're wrapping it, we're making it more energy efficient, but okay, you got to find a way to bring in some fresh air.
You need fresh air. And what that refers to, so every time you run that dryer, the ventilation fans in the bathroom and then the biggie, the kitchen, right?
Yep.
Because
vent hood.
People go to those big vent hoods that are pulling 600,000-800,000 CFM.
They're pretty.
Yeah, they look beautiful and they do a really good job, but eventually they suck the air out of the room and it's all conditioned air, which you just
paid money.
Yeah, you spent that whole week working to pay for that. So it's worth it to pay attention to those things. So when your general contractor tells you that if you're redoing a kitchen and they say, you know, look, we got to bring the HVAC people and we got to bring outside air, and they're not just trying to make money off of you. That is part of the code. And it's, I think anything over 400 CFM cubic feet per minute, then you have to bring in air.
You have to
probably not a bad idea to get it anyway. So.
Right.
Hey, let's get Ralph on here. Ralph is our first caller of the day. Ralph, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have it.
I've got an older home, and my hot water supply line underneath my house has sprung a leak about three times, and I'd like to replace it. And I don't know if I should replace the full run with another copper tubing or if I should replace it with some of this PEX tubing that's being used nowadays.
Well, are you going to do this yourself, or are you going to hire it done?
No, I'm going to have a plumber do it because there's a lot of fittings and things involved.
But. Sure. I tell you, the thing is everybody's going to PAX, and they have been for years and years, and I've worked with it quite a bit, and I tell you, I like it. It's easy to work with. You know, you cut your liability down. There's no flame.
Yep.
Of course, they do have copper crimping tools now. Right. You can spread, right?
So, yep.
You can get away from the heat and the flame, but if you're springing leaks, is the house on well water? Did it used to be on well water?
I'm sorry, say again, please.
Did you used to be on well water
for the house? Years and years ago, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably what the cause was. Normally, the pH is low, so it's on the acid side, and what it does is it thins that pipe out, and then that's what causes you to spring leaks. So the runs that you're seeing now that are leaking, chances are the other portions are probably not far behind it. So as the water goes through it, it's going to wear the pipe down, and it's already thin. So probably a good idea to be looking at a plan to have all of it swapped out as you go along. And I don't know if that's what your plan was, but certainly you want to take care of the ones that are leaking right away. But I think PEX is a really good choice. It's much easier to work with for the plumber. It's, you know, it's color coded. They can get red, blue, white. And that makes it really nice for when you're feeding pipes up through the floor.
Actually, what my plan was is to get the house ready to sell, and I wasn't sure if an inspector would rather see copper pipe put back in or if he would be okay with a PEX run.
No, he'd be fine with a PEX run. Now, what that is going to do is a good inspector is going to catch that and notice that the pipe has been changed out, and they're going to ask questions. And the truth is you really should disclose that you had some leaks or that probably should come up in some conversation, because I hate to say it, but that problem is probably not going to end, and you don't want to hand that off to somebody else if you can help it.
Right.
At least put some relief in there for them if you think that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
But PEX,
well, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, no worries. Good luck with that. And PEX is a good idea, not a bad idea at all.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Ralph. Mm-hmm. All right. Ralph is gone. Line's open, 704-570-1110. You know, Lauren, that's kind of one of our, John and I, through the years, and we've had, you know, we'll get a call once in a while, and people say, well, we're getting ready to sell, and we just want to patch things up and get it sold, and you know, our first question always to that, and that's to my customers as well, as I say, well, you're getting ready to buy a house right now too, right? And they say, yeah, and you want people to do that to you?
Right.
You know, so, you know, bite the bullet.
Yeah.
Sometimes it hurts a little bit, but get it done right, and pass on something to someone that you would not be afraid to buy or own.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
And not that I'm trying to give anybody any lectures, but from where I sit as a contractor, we run into that stuff, and I just want to make it right.
Yeah.
I know you guys do.
Yeah.
That's why we partner with you folks.
Absolutely.
We love that part. So, anyway, hope Ralph gets that taken care of. And, so we were talking a little bit about ventilation, and, I think the other thing is the dryer side.
Yeah.
You know, people don't pay a lot of attention to their dryers, and it's of late I've been at some homes that they've had trouble with the dryers.
Okay.
And they're stopped up, you know, or they're you go underneath and I look and there's big dips, or somebody's run flex.
Yeah.
Pretty dangerous stuff, right?
It can. Absolutely. Yeah, those dryer vents are important.
Yes. So lots of opportunity for fires and all kinds of problems. And the other thing is you just waste a lot of money. Because if the dryers are plugged up, if the vents are plugged up, your dryer's not going to run efficiently.
You got to run it two or three times till your clothes are dry.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable how fast that can happen too. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. Let's get Matthew. Matthew, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Yes. We had a shower replaced.
Uh-huh.
And we would like to have more pressure
at the shower head.
Yes.
Okay. So, did you have the valve changed, or the shower head, or the whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Okay.
And so it's less now than what it was before. Is that what you're saying, Matthew?
Yes, because it's a bigger shower. We have a Amazon rainfall. That's
ooh, it sounds nice.
And a handheld up by the far wall, and then a handheld at the middle wall.
Okay.
So now you have like three places where water are coming out. Is that what you're saying?
It's 110 inches long.
Right.
By 4 feet wide.
Okay. So are you running the shower heads at the same time?
Yes, that's the preferred full body method.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of that has to happen in the rough end. And normally what has to happen is 3/4 inch lines need to be run into that wall and then branch down to the half inch. And hopefully they've done this. And then the other thing is that for that rain can, that they make a shower valve that has larger ports in it. And they're designed for more flow. Most valves are designed for lower flow because the idea is that we
conserve.
Absolutely. Yeah. Water is our most precious commodity that we really need to take care of our resource. So there's a couple of things in there that could be behind the scenes, and hopefully that's not the problem. Hopefully it's just the restrictors that are in the shower heads, but it doesn't sound like it to me. It sounds like you don't have enough water volume coming to the shower itself.
That's correct. We ran a outside water sprayer, and it kept cutting off and stalling. Yeah, there's not enough pressure coming from the street.
Okay, so it's pressure and volume. So there's a little difference. So if you turn on one of those heads and the other one is not making it, chances are that it wasn't plumbed properly for two or three of those heads to be running at one time. That has to be intentional when that's set up and done. How long has it been since it was completed? The project?
Only about 6 months.
Yeah, you may want to call the contractor back out and talk to them about that, get the plumber involved, and see if they can come up with a solution for that, to maybe get a little more water volume. They can check that with some buckets and timing, and then also a gauge to see what that is. Hey, Matthew, I want to put you on hold for a second. We are pushing right up against the break, and I'll finish you off the air if you don't mind. We are coming up against a break, so give us a call, 704-570-1110. We'll take our break, and we'll be back with more home improvement right after this. All right, welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm Dave Doval.
And I'm Lauren Acosta Huckleberry with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we're glad you joined us. Glad you stayed tuned. We took care of Matthews, got him off of the off air and finished up. He's also gonna check his pressure reducing valve on the house, which he said was about 16 years old. And with city water and the chlorine or the chlorine and ammonia, I forget what they call it, but it does tend to degrade those parts, and that spring inside of that unit is usually what fails.
Yep.
And so I hear people tell me that their water pressure's gone down. We usually get a plumber out there, and then that's what they find. So it kind of collapses on itself, and it goes to a lower setting versus, which is probably good rather than a higher setting.
So, right. You know, might damage some
stuff. Your dishwasher door blow open or something would be ugly.
Right.
Let's do our Home Depot product of the week. John was kind enough to send this to me because I usually will come off the cuff with something else. So. But this week it was the pink Owens Corning craft-based insulation, fiberglass insulation. The link he sent me was for probably one of the more common, but it's 15-inch R13, which is what goes in the stud cavities. That's not so important as this newer and improved insulation that they've come out with has a couple of key points. So it's easy to install in the 2x4 walls because it has stiffer bats. So if you've ever messed with insulation and it rolls, you put it up. If you didn't staple it or pin it or glue it in some manner, it would roll back off of the wall on you. Well, this insulation is stiffer now, so it will stay in the cavities And it's just wide enough to go into normal studs that it has a little compression.
Okay.
So you can just install it without any staples or glue or anything. A lot of times and I think in this area, they've eliminated the vapor barrier on the inside. We want
right.
the house wrap on the outside, but, because it tends to trap the moisture in between the layers. So, they got rid of a lot of that. So craft face is not necessary. If you don't want to use it, and with this insulation being stiffer, you don't need that paper on it. So helps probably cut the cost. Shred resistant and less dust, which would make sense if they made it stiffer because it's probably not as pliable. So therefore, that's a big plus because if it's not falling all over you, you're not breathing. Of course, you still probably should wear gloves and long sleeves and put a mask on just because you really don't want that stuff in your lungs.
Yeah.
But that is our product of the week. So check that out. And it's a good segue or lead into the subject. So Owens Corning Pink Next Generation Fiberglass Insulation. Check that out.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about ventilation and then and the kind of the lead up to that was HVAC, but we're in the heating season now, and we know that the air conditionings and air conditioners are going to be changing in 2023 for the and this is really effective on the lesser units, right? So the lower SEER units,
right?
If you're in the upper SEER units, that stuff's pretty much going to already done their due diligence on it, right?
Exactly. So essentially today, the minimum efficiency piece of equipment that can be installed is 14 SEER. And SEER stands for Seasonal Energy Efficiency Ratio. And it's really, really, really similar to miles per gallon. You know, the higher the SEER rating is, the more energy efficient the system, just like the higher the miles per gallon, the more efficient the car is with fuel. And so the minimum today in 2022 is 14. And that actually is sort of unique to the Southeast. The way that the EPA has sort of drawn maps, there's different efficiency ratios all over the country. But where we are, it's 14.
Okay.
And what it'll move to in 2023 is 15.2.
Oh, okay. So it is going up then.
Yeah. It's going to 15.2, and they've introduced another metric. They've introduced something that's called SEER 2, which potentially is going to cause some confusion. But it's another way that they're doing these ratings. So talking about SEER, you know, when we say that a system is 14 SEER or even the 15.2 that we're talking about in 2023, we're talking about how the system performed in a laboratory in perfect conditions, because there's a governing body of sorts called AHRI that tests and certifies that, you know, this piece of equipment with this indoor piece of equipment gets this exact rating.
Sure.
And so in those scenarios of the testing, they're testing it in perfect conditions of just 0.2 static pressure, which is really, really unlikely to see in anyone's home, anywhere, because those are really good, really, 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 really good conditions. So part of what they have done with these new standards and introducing another metric called SEER2 is now they're testing equipment in an environment that's a little more realistic to what somebody would really see in their home. And so now they're testing systems at 0.6 static pressure.
Okay.
And so that what's neat about that is that what is getting tested in a laboratory actually might more closely resembles what we actually see in the field in somebody's home.
Sure.
So that's a neat thing that got changed so that, you know, these energy efficiency ratios are really more true to life of what somebody's really going to experience in their home.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the good stuff right there because everyday reality, because usually the front door is open and
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And somebody's going out the back
yep.
and they said, it doesn't need to be closed. It's all good. But yeah, we were. I was talking to someone the other night about some duct work, and I want to talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
And when you're changing out, when to change it out, and all of that. But it's kind of what we were talking about. If you have older duct work and it's not sealed, or if it needs to be cleaned, if it's 15 or 20 years old, maybe you should start thinking about probably changing it, because chances are it may not have been put in the best manner.
May not have.
So you have a lot of, can have a lot of resistance, a lot of wasted area. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But right now we're going to take a break. So give us a call, 704-570-1110, and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm Dave Doval.
And I'm Lauren Acosta Huckleberry with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we're glad everyone stayed with us. Glad you joined us. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. Any home improvement questions, if you have any HVAC questions, Lauren's here to help us with that. And we look forward to that every it's the first, second Saturday of every month, and has been for many years. And hopefully we'll continue to do that, because it's just good information. And I just think it really helps people make great decisions out there, and just fills them in. So you hear lots of stuff out there, but we can get you the facts. Usually right here.
That's right here.
That's what's good. That's what we like to do.
Absolutely.
So we were talking a little bit. So our product of the week was insulation, and we talked about sear, and we'll talk a little bit about duct work too. I think in conjunction with that, one of the things that we leave out a lot, or people don't think about, and it's one of the most inexpensive things you can do, is insulation.
Yep.
In the attic, to have
makes a huge difference.
A huge difference. So if you spend all that money on sear and you get the top notch system and you change out your duct work and you do all that, but if you don't add insulation to that attic, or make sure that it's doing its job, you've kind of for naught. You know, you've spent all that money and you haven't taken advantage of just piling up some insulation.
Yep.
Even if you have an older system, it's certain,
adding insulation can make a big difference.
It really helps. And I've done it so many times for folks that, it's amazing what they say. You know, after 2 or 3 months, they get their electricity bills or their gas bills, and they say, man, you can't believe it. Or, and maybe it's not even the bill so much as it's their comfort.
Right. So, you know, one of the things that whenever we're going to go to replace a system in somebody's house, one of the things that we do is we do a load calculation. And one of the things that makes a huge difference on what size air conditioner you're going to need in your house is how much insulation you can have.
Right.
You can save a ton, or even go with a smaller air conditioner if you just add insulation, which can be a more inexpensive way to go. Add insulation, and then you can put a smaller air conditioner
to
cool the space. Yeah.
And so and with that savings, you can bump up your sear level.
Absolutely.
Which is what we did when we built our house. So we foamed the attic. It did cost us money, and I know our listeners probably have heard this about 100 times from me, but I just can't say it enough that, you know, we've yet to have a power bill over $159.
That is sweet.
For our house. And we're comfortable. It's never cold. It's never too hot. We don't have much humidity. And we went with a 21 SEER Linux system.
Nice.
And it's running in the background and it's dehumidifying.
Yeah.
But my son-in-law, who is a builder, and he down at the coast, and he says that he can't believe when he sees the temperatures in our attic. We have remote weather stations for, and I bought a triple, so we have one in the attic over the garage, which is not foamed, but it has the foil faced plywood over the roof deck. That attic has never been over 110 degrees.
Wow.
The house attic has never been over 85 degrees.
Nuh-uh.
And the crawl space stays at about 70 degrees all the time. And it's a sealed crawl space. And we knew we had to control the moisture in the crawl space, because as it makes its way through the house, if you have a sealed attic, it gets trapped in the attic. Now you have a moisture in the attic.
Roofs are pretty important.
That's right. It migrates through that open cell foam and can get trapped at the roof deck.
Yep.
Now you can have another problem. In some parts of the country, it was a big deal till they
figured
out what they needed to do to stop that. So,
yeah.
But you have to control the humidity. But with that $35 monitor that I bought, we can watch that from the countertop in our kitchen, and I can go by and I look at it pretty regular, and I can watch the, like yesterday with the rain, we saw the the humidity go up in the attic that's not sealed.
Yeah.
And it was 82%.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
But the house attic was 55% and the crawl space was 54%.
That's perfect.
So, if you could stay in those realms, but those little things, you spend a little money on the front end, but it saves you through the end. And it's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
We're thrilled with that.
When you said that your attic is 85 degrees or doesn't get above 85 degrees,
right.
I mean, I'm just like tickled because I, thinking of all of our installers and like some of the conditions of the attics that they work in.
Exactly.
They would be so excited if every attic was no hotter than 85 degrees.
And it is nice. Yeah. It allows for a lot of things. But it was all geared about saving money in the long run as we get older and we have less income coming in.
Yep.
The days that, you know, one day maybe we won't work. I doubt that'll ever be for me, but I just like it. That's why.
But you're so on the right track, right? With that sort of thinking about down the line, because so many of the attics that we go into during the summertime that we're working in are, you know, we're in attics sometimes that are 140 degrees in those attics. I didn't know that it was possible for my fingertips to sweat until I was up in those attics trying to like write notes and measurements and the pen keeps slipping out of my hand. But anyways, I had it on the easy side. I was just on the sales side and being able to show customers options of, you know, what it would be to replace their system. I had it easy. Our installers would be up there for hours at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I was just up there for, you know, maybe 30 minutes getting that kind of stuff. But if an attic is 140 degrees, how much harder that air conditioner has to work to cool their house, and yours isn't ever getting above 85 degrees. That's wonderful.
Right. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
It makes a huge difference. And it's the thing I think that happens is we all know that heat rises, but eventually as the attic heats up, There's it fills up with all that heat. There's no place it can't get out fast enough, and it can't replace from the soffit vents with the 90 degree air.
Yeah,
we call that cooler air,
right?
Because it is really
it is.
But that's what you want. But as it builds up through the day and it can't get itself out, it can't get out of the attic. Now it starts to migrate and push itself into the living space. So especially second story houses that are already struggling.
Yep.
And I think that's really. I just always think that that's the way that we need to be going, and I'd love to see the codes change to that. Will it change the price of houses a little bit?
Maybe,
a little bit, but just think if it becomes the norm, it would probably equalize and be not much more than what we're spending now because everybody would be doing it.
Yeah, and think about how much less everyone's utility bills will be.
So there's the
savings.
There's the savings, and that's where it pays you back, and you make up for that. And we have, and of course, you know, and Scott is notorious for the comfort side of it because you can't put a price on comfort. You know, to be comfortable, to maintain your house at a comfortable level, it is really good. But think about maintaining the humidity and not letting your house get full of moisture, which causes mold and mildew. It causes all kinds of things. So if you can control those things and you have that at your fingertips by just pushing a button, that's pretty good. And I think the technology, we're moving closer and closer to that, to where that will be available for everyone. I mean, it really is now, but I think once it becomes standard on homes, it's so much better. And those are the kinds of things that we can do to really help the environment, to help conserve energy, to help conserve money for your pocket. So you can spend it on things you want.
Yeah. And as I understand, you know, the tax credits that are coming into place in 2023, not only will people be able to make these upgrades to their home, get tax credits back to help them be able to afford it, but then they also have the continued savings of the lower energy bills.
Absolutely. So that's probably our challenge over the next couple of years is for folks to talk to your accountant, talk to the people that that help you with your taxes. And if you're filing that stuff online, find somebody just as a consultant. Now, you probably need to do that outside of tax season because the people get really busy. But but find out what they can do to help you if it's something that will help you with your taxes, because you don't know until you look into it.
Yeah.
And I'm not an accountant by any stretch,
no.
So we won't even go there as far as how that works. But there is savings there for a lot of people if you take advantage of it.
Yep. So. Yep.
Cool. Where are we at? Oh yeah, we got about 40 seconds. So yeah. So I think we probably gone through on this with energy efficiency, insulation. Mm-hmm. I think those things are important, and we look forward to talking about that each month with you guys about that and about these systems, because it is the number one user of electricity and
yep.
and gas in your house.
Absolutely. So. Your HVAC is. Yeah. So
money is, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And so, you know, making sure that your equipment is energy efficient is one piece, right? But then you had talked about earlier about ductwork, right? Your ductwork needs to be well sealed.
Right.
You don't want to be losing all of that to your attic.
And we'll do that. Oh, we got to go. Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
A Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. On News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
All right, welcome back. It's hour two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm Dave Doval.
And I'm Lauren Acosta Huckleberry with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we have lines open at 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We're talking home improvement, talking heating and air conditioning and ventilation. Right before the break, and sorry to have to cut you off. I got lost track of times, and we were right on the break.
Yeah.
So, but we were kind of teasing about ductwork earlier,
sure.
And wanted to bring that up and talk a little bit about ductwork and the importance of it. And we were having some conversations off air about things that we've seen and witnessed through the years,
yep.
and what happens. I know we got a caller that's about to come up, so I want to get this caller, and then we'll talk a little bit more about that. Let's do that. Let's see. Linda. Linda has a question for us. Linda, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Thank you so much. I have a two-story house that's cedar plank. It's mm-hmm. painted, but I wonder, can we have it pressure washed so that, you know, it cleans up, especially under the eaves are bad?
Sure. Linda, it's the pressure washing is really just more of a wider fan spray rinse. You're not looking for pressure, but more volume of water. A lot of guys refer to this as soft wash, which is what you want, especially for cedar because it's so soft. The chemicals that they're going to spray for the cleaning are really what's going to do the trick. But like I said, the pressure washers just aids in the rinse. It just
yeah.
makes a wider fan. It helps you rinse faster. You use less water than if you were using a garden hose spraying
mm-hmm.
it.
Yep.
But it just distributes that water for you. So yeah, I think on both, yes, you could certainly hire someone to come in and use a pressure washer, or if it's something you want to do yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, keep the pressure lower and the volume of water higher, and then the chemicals that you use are going to really do the trick.
Yeah.
Okay, super. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Okay, Linda's gone. Line's open, 570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'd be glad to answer any questions that you might have. So we were kind of teasing a little bit about ductwork, and I mean, it's pretty important. That's the delivery system, right? For
yeah.
for the air that you've spent this money to cool it or to heat it, and
yeah.
now it has to be distributed through the house, and
yeah.
the ductwork's not in very good shape. You've wasted a lot of money, right?
Yeah, and so often, right, people will say, you know, my air conditioner's not working right. My room over the garage, or my son's bedroom, or whatever, it's not cooling right. And it is, you know, it's most homeowners' impression that the problem is their air conditioner.
Sure.
And it is much more often that their air conditioner is okay, maybe not perfect, but it's okay. And the real problem of why their son's bedroom or this other room isn't cooling or heating properly is because of the ductwork.
Sure.
And so it could be one of two things. It could be just the design is not right. It's not moving the volume of air to that particular room that you need. Or sometimes it's not insulated or sealed well enough to deliver mm-hmm. the volume of air that you need to that space.
Yeah, especially older homes, right? Mm-hmm. So what was it, pre-99? Was that the, I think 99 is when they started the forcing the sealing
yep.
of ductwork. And so that's where they join the pieces together. Now, they always used to put duct tape or something on it. But yeah. over time, we talked about 140-degree attics.
Yeah.
That duct tape is not going to hold up in
no.
there. Anything like that with adhesive, it's going to reactivate it. And it's going to seal back down. But eventually, after it goes through that process multiple times, it's not going to seal anymore.
Nope.
And now you have all this precious air that you're paying to cool or to heat is blowing out into your attic.
Yeah.
And it doesn't care because it's just going to ventilate it out because
yeah.
the attic's doing its job and ventilating. So with those things, it's probably worth it to have someone inspect the ductwork.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take this call. Let's get Joe in here, and then when we come back after the next break and after this call, we'll talk a little bit more about design and mm-hmm. returns and how important those are. So here's Joe. Welcome to the program. You jumped right into our subject. How can we help?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Excuse me. I have a house that's about 20 years old, and the single story, 1,500 square feet. Of course, all the HVAC's in the attic.
Uh-huh.
And it's conventional attic, just insulation in the ceiling. We get quite a bit of black dust. I don't know how else to describe it. It's definitely not mold.
Yeah.
I
insulation.
Feel like mm-hmm. it's older system where you had fiberglass board insulating inside the ductwork, the mains before it went to the flex.
Yeah.
Is it worth it to maybe have all that changed out and at the same time add one of those 6 or 1 year filters that matches right up to the main core of the unit as opposed to the two standard returns I have in the ceiling?
Yeah.
I'll hang up or listen for y'all.
Absolutely. So, you know, you'll get a lot of benefit for replacing that duct system and then those, you know, central filtration systems like you were describing where, you know, you only have to change the filter once or twice a year. You know, it does a better job at dust removal. It's less maintenance. You only got to get it changed once or twice a year. It does a really nice job. And when you're talking about, you know, replacing the ductwork and that dust that you're seeing that may be, you know, the fiberglass that's degrading inside of that ductwork. Unfortunately, you are likely breathing that stuff in. But one of the really nice things is that most companies today, Acosta included, when they're replacing that ductwork, we will wrap the ductwork instead of line the ductwork. So you don't have to worry about ever breathing that stuff in because it'll never be exposed to that air. So we would wrap it on the outside so that inside of that ductwork is nice and clean. There's no fiberglass and no chance of that black dust that you're seeing around the house.
Okay. Let's see. I'm not sure. Joe, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I had put you on hold because I wasn't sure if you were going to drop. Does that kind of help and answer that question for you?
Yeah, yes, sir. I just, and I guess this is the best time of year. I live on the coast down Oak Island. I guess it's probably the best and cheapest time of the year, maybe right after Christmas when the HVAC folks slow down.
Sure.
Yeah, you might be able to wheel and deal a little better.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when we're a little slower, absolutely.
And it's cooler for those guys. It's easier on them for sure.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, and I feel like, yeah, I'm a dinosaur now, but I know if you were more comfortable in the trades, you'd do a better job than if it's 140.
Yeah, makes it tough.
Yep.
Joe, we appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thanks, now. Okay, Joe's gone. We got to take a break. We're just a little bit past it. We'll be back with more home improvement right after this. All right, welcome back. It's the Home Improvement Show, the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm Dave Doval.
And I'm Lauren Acosta Huckleberry with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we're glad you joined us. John's off this week. He'll be back next week. He's a little busy. Lines open, 704-570-1110. Had some great calls. Just talked to Joe about replacing his duct work, and that's what he was considering, and was it worth it, a 20-year-old house? You know, I think so. Lauren and I have been talking a little bit about this off air and about what happens in houses, especially if it's not a custom home, if it's a cookie cutter or a track built home. You know, these guys that build these, they're going in, they're pinching pennies everywhere they can. And
yep.
One of the things that we talked about was that Lauren said that a lot of times they almost always end up adding a return somewhere if they can. Yeah, get creative sometimes, right?
Yeah. So, because it's pretty common, you know, one of our normal regular questions that we're asking when we're replacing a system is, hey, what's your comfort level? Do you have any spaces that are too hot or too cold? And I mean, the answer is almost always yes.
Sure.
I got this one room, I got this one space that just doesn't stay comfortable. And so one of the best ways that we can do, or best things that we can do to help to make that comfortable, is to add another place that we're pulling air from. Because you can only put as much air back into the space as you pull out of it.
Right.
So very, 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 very often we're not pulling out enough air to condition and then put enough back into the space. So adding a return, adding another place that you're pulling air from so you can condition some more air, really can make a big difference in somebody's comfort in the space. So that's something that we're doing really regularly, is adding another return to help to make that space more comfortable for somebody.
And there's rules of thumb for that, right?
Yeah.
As far as how many supplies you have versus returns, or it used to be by square footage, and I've seen it a bunch of times when a return was added in homes.
Yeah.
What a difference it made for the people that live there, the comfort. Yeah. I've done it in an older home that we had, and was a huge difference for that. And it was a long way. In the attic, the returns were very close to each other, but in the house, they were a long way away from each other by the way that you would walk to it. So a huge difference. Let's get Todd in here. I think that's Todd.
I
don't have the screen close enough to me.
Yes, Todd.
Todd, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Hi, I have a question on insulation.
Sure.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks for all you do.
We appreciate it. Appreciate you listening. Go ahead.
We have doing a remodel, and I have a room that we've got the bottom 4 feet of the sheetrock we removed to add some electrical work.
Mm-hmm.
In replacing that with insulation, we're bringing that up to code. The rest of the room under the sheetrock is old, probably 40, maybe 50 years old. It's R11. The bottom 4 feet we replaced with now R16.
Mm-hmm.
And was wondering the efficiency and the benefit of pulling down the remaining sheetrock and putting the upgraded insulation in the top of the room, the rest of the room.
Yeah. See, this is a great question, because this is why Dave Doval doesn't flip houses, because I would never make any money, because I could promise you I would strip all that drywall off. I would pull the old insulation out. I would air seal, and I would put the insulation up, and then I would have to pay somebody to buy the house too, because
you would have invested so much.
I went too far.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is that's a great question, Todd, and I think you would be smart to go ahead and pull the rest of the drywall down. Like I said, air seal it, and I don't know if you're familiar with that, but in all the corners, along the plate, your foam. What you're doing is you're using a low expanding foam. And you're filling all the holes, you're filling any gaps, you're filling the cracks. So if it's obviously an outside wall, so at the corners where they meet,
right,
that's usually leaks air. That air sealing is almost more important than the actual insulation. Although you do have to have the insulation, it does make a difference. Our climate is not as cold as a lot of areas in the country, so you would definitely know if there was not insulation in that wall. But the air sealing is just as important. And through the years, as I've watched this come online and become part of the code, it makes all the difference in the world in a house.
Yeah.
If you do that, you will get that money back in time. I promise you.
Yeah, Todd, what are you going to use the space for?
What's that?
What's the room going to be?
It's going to be a kind of a master living room.
Ah, nice. Very nice.
Very good.
You guys are going to be spending a lot of time there, so it's nice to invest in it and make it right.
Cool. That's a great perspective as well. Thanks. In terms of insulation on the walls versus the roof or ceiling, do you get more benefit from one or the other? You get more benefit from insulation in the roof.
Yeah. There's always that's always for if you're low budget and the money's not there, we always say spend it in the attic because that is where the heat rises to, and it does. It's really twofold because in the wintertime the heat's trying to rise and push through that ceiling and go to the attic and vent naturally, which is what the attic does. A normal unsealed attic. And then of course in the summertime that also helps block the heat from pushing back through. It doesn't stop it completely, but the thicker it is, the more chance you have of it blocking most of that heat. So that way your air conditioner can do its job and do a more efficient job.
Yeah, so if you had to choose between, you know, pulling down the rest of that drywall and doing the walls or doing the attic, we would tell you to do the attic.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. That really truly is the we always say it's the biggest bang for your buck is the insulation in the attic. But if you can swing it, seal up, and even if you can't, maybe get in the corners and reach up in there and pull that insulation out just in the corners and try to go up in there and seal. A lot of air comes through right there at that junction.
Right.
In that room that you're working in. So
that's very helpful.
All right, man.
Thank you very much.
Todd, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. It was a great question.
Bye.
All right. Todd is gone. We're probably, we got another minute or so. So I guess we'll just set this up for the next segment. We've talked about efficiency and talked a little bit about insulation. We've talked about duct work.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next thing we probably when we come back, let's kind of get into zoning,
sure,
and how important that is, and how that can really help people.
Yeah.
Not every house is capable of being zoned.
Sure,
but a lot of houses are, and it's a great alternative to a second system.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now that. The code's changed, right? So you have to have
just 5 degrees is I think the max difference between floors. Yeah.
So that's important. So used to be they would try to put one system in and control and try to heat and cool the whole house, and everyone knows that's impossible, you know, and that the problem switches from summer to winter.
Yeah.
It's one or the other, either too cold or you're too hot in one floor or the other. Yeah, I think the zoning is a great answer, and we'll go into that in a little more depth. And we've talked about it before, but I think we can't talk about it really enough that it's a viable option for folks in different situations. So we'll talk about that, and then maybe a little bit about mini splits, the smaller systems that are another way that you can achieve some of the same things if zoning's not an option. So we'll get there, but in the meanwhile, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this. All right, welcome back. Getting close, man. We're getting close. Hour and a half already. It's going by fast. Welcome. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
And I'm Lauren Acosta Huckleberry with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And let's get Brian in here. We'll do that before we do the, I got to recap the product of the week. But Brian, we think you're more important. Welcome to the program. How can we help?
Yes, I've got a 30-year-old house with a two-story chimney, a wood-burning fireplace, and the last time it was cleaned, they said we probably ought to start thinking about replacing the liner.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to kind of get the big picture of that project from you.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of options out there. So they can put a liner. They could put a stainless steel flexible tube down that chimney flue, and then that would be connected from the top to the bottom, so all of the smoke and heat would, well, not all the heat, obviously, some of it's going to go through that, but the smoke, the most important thing, is going to stay inside that stainless chimney liner. And then the other option is they actually put a bag inside that chimney liner, and they pour around it and form. And so it makes that liner kind of one piece. You know, I don't know if there's, I've never really seen anything about which one is better.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of would lean towards the stainless steel, just because I think probably not much can happen to that, to where I think if it was formed, eventually, if you have any movement in that chimney, in the footing, or the expansion and contraction could potentially crack that liner.
Yeah, maybe.
And I don't know how much it's reinforced. I know it's different than it's heat resistant, so it's a different type of product than what you normally would find. You're not going to find it probably on the shelf at Home Depot, I wouldn't think. So I think it probably, for you, it would come down to cost, you know, and I think if they present both of those options, they'll be able to give you some costs on that. Our friends over at Owens Chimney Systems may be a good place to start with them. They've been around a long time and run a pretty good operation over there, from what I understand.
Are they the ones in Matthews?
Yeah, he's I think he has multiple locations now.
Because I think I've dealt with them before. Is 30 years normal for the original? Is that the lifespan?
Yeah, I would think so. Especially it really depends on use and how well the footing for the fireplace was put in. That a lot of times that's the problem, is that there's movement at the base of the base of the chimney. You have all that weight, and if it shifts or starts to move or twist a little bit, then it can bust the liner open. It can open up the joints or crack the liner itself. And then if you use it a lot, if you burn a lot of hot fires, you know, then yeah, it's going to take its effect on it, because it's heating and then it's cooling at a pretty quick pace. So any time that you have that, you're going to have some movement.
Well, that's helpful. And just one final question, so I can have something to lie awake nights thinking about.
Sure. We all need that.
Can you ballpark the cost on that?
I couldn't. I don't have any clue as to what it would cost. Even if I did one a year ago, I wouldn't try to give you a cost on it right now without actually being in that business. But as always, we recommend at least two estimates, and try to get them. Once you get your first estimate, kind of keep track of what the details in that estimate are, and relay that to the next person, so you're bidding apples to apples and oranges to oranges. That way you're not getting two totally separate bids and then you're lost because you have no idea what they're charging you for to do whatever project. So it's pretty simple. It's either going to be a liner, a stainless steel liner, or they're going to pour it and reform it.
Okay.
So
you've been a great help and a great resource. I love having you on this.
Well, we appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, Brian. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Okay. Brian's gone, but yeah, right there is, it's another example. Just get a couple of estimates, be aware of what, you know, what they're each bringing to the table.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough. I see this a lot with when people are doing maybe an addition, or maybe a bathroom or a kitchen remodel. You know, it's better if you can put down all of the things that you want for that project. And John and I have talked about this for years, is to have a plan in place and make sure everybody's bidding on the same thing.
Right.
Because it's impossible to compare numbers if they're not.
Right.
And if you have a plan and you give that to your potential contractors to bid on, And then one of the contractors says, hey, you know, you probably need to think about adding this. Well, that's fine. Get a price on that addendum.
Yeah.
And then make sure the other guys know. And if you can, you can add that on there, especially if it's close or the pricing's close or however you want to look at it. But yeah, have a plan.
Yeah.
You know, and know ahead of time. And it's good for, it's really good for the contractors too, no matter what field it is, because you know, they know exactly what they have to do and how you want it bid. It saves everybody time, money, and headache.
Yep.
So, makes it good. I know we're, again, we're real close to a break. So we want to talk a little bit about,
do we need to talk about the product of the week?
We are going to do the product of the week, but we have to do that when we come back.
Okay.
Because we're so close to a break. I'm drawing, milking this along. So that so we can roll with it. But
yeah, absolutely.
Chris is back here, so we'll let him do his thing and get us to a commercial, and we'll be back with more home improvement after this. All right, welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
And I'm Lauren Acosta Huckleberry with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we appreciate you hanging in here and listening. Mary, I see you there. I've got to do this real quick. Our product of the week, we'll recap that, is the Owens Corning. It's the next generation fiberglass, the pink. Remember, it's the pink, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. A couple of qualities with this, and this was the R13, but there's all the insulation, the different categories that you would need for your house. There's R19, R38, which is what goes in the attic now is the minimum. But it's good stuff. This product is a little stiffer, so it stays in place when you're putting it in walls, which is if you've ever done it, it's aggravating as it folds over. So that's pretty cool. And then, of course, with it being a stiffer a form of insulation, you have less shredding and less dust, which is really cool. So that is quite helpful when you're installing it. But that's our product of the week this week. So it's Owens Corning, the pink insulation. Check it out at the Home Depot. Let's get Mary in here. Is that correct? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Thank you. A few years ago, I had an ultraviolet light installed in conjunction with the attic HVAC equipment to mm-hmm. deter mold growth.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I've had my HVA system replaced as of a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when the technician came to do my most recent seasonal check,
mm-hmm.
he said that light was out.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, since it's winter, the cooler months, I'm not going to replace it now because it was terribly expensive to get it installed in the first place. Do you think now they can just replace the bulb? Or what would be your advice in that regard? I was thinking about getting it a new one put in when they come back to do the summer check.
Yeah, so with most of those UV lights that you get installed in the system, you've got to get the bulb replaced about every 18 months for them to have, you know, the good effectiveness. So if it's older than that, we're always going to talk to you about the option of replacing that bulb. And in most cases, you can do just that, just replace the bulb instead of having to replace the entire UV bulb system.
Okay, well, I will certainly check on that when they come back. And would it be, if it ends up costing, or would it increase the life of the bulb if it's turned off during the cooler months, or is it wise to have it on all the time?
I would have it on all the time. Because it's going to, the main point of it, right, is to kill any bacterial growth on the system, but also just any air passing by it, even in the wintertime. If it's got any kind of organic material or anything that's growing in there, it'll help to kill it year-round.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That's very helpful. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Barry. Appreciate the call. Yeah, that's interesting. So I didn't know if those were always on or if they were wired to the system. So when this blower comes on, that it would as air is moving. Is
yeah,
that-
it can be either way. In most cases, they're just on all the time, or that's usually how they're wired. They're on all the time, but they can be really helpful to help prevent any kind of growth on the coils.
Yeah, that's another thing that I've always thought that some type of air purifier should be included in every system, especially if it's a commercial building.
Absolutely.
You would think that would be a part of the code, because you know that's where everybody mixes. You know, people from all walks of life coming
right.
in, so you don't know what's going on. But yep. You know, I would certainly think daycares and that would be pretty important.
Yeah.
Pretty important stuff. So yeah, we talked about that, I think, quite a bit at the beginning of when COVID was running rampant.
Yeah.
That people were installing lots of devices
indoor
in their
air
homes.
Quality products. Yeah,
sure.
And one thing that people forget about also is humidifiers, right?
Oh yeah.
So one of the I guess maybe kind of gross ways that I like to describe humidifiers or the benefit of humidifiers is, you know, you're running your heat in the wintertime. It's drying out the air in your home. And so then it pulls the moisture out of everything. It pulls
Sure.
the moisture out of your cabinets, your wood floors, all the places. And it definitely pulls the moisture out of your air. So in the wintertime, one of the reasons we spread germs so easily in the wintertime is because the air is dry.
Right.
So what that looks like is if you sneeze and the home or the air of where you are sneezing is really dry, what happens is that sneeze, that moisture, literally hangs out in the air. And then you walk through somebody else's sneeze.
Yeah.
And that's why in the wintertime we spread germs as easily as we do, because those sneezes and those coughs and all those little particles that come out when we're talking and breathing just hang out in the air. If you've got a humidifier in your home and the air is fully saturated, what happens when you sneeze is that sneeze falls to the ground or falls to the countertop, and you can wipe it up and clean it and make, you know, clean the surfaces.
Sure.
But if the air is dry, it's not falling to something that
right.
you can wipe up and clean. It's just hanging out and you're walking through each other's sneezes. So humidifiers make a big difference. There was a study that they did actually in New York City public schools where they did an examination of, you know, certain schools. They added humidifiers to the schools, and other, you know, schools in the system as a case study, they didn't add humidifiers. And the amount of illnesses and kids out for sickness was much, much, much lower in the schools where they had added the humidifiers.
Right. So the perfect example of why it becomes because we're trapped inside, we
right.
think, but I've always heard that
yep.
the dryness is worse. You would think it would be the opposite.
Yeah.
That if it was damp, that it would be worse, but it's not.
No.
The dryness always, and you're more likely to catch a cold or have sinus issues or whatever.
Yeah, if your home is dry. Yeah.
I've heard that. The first time I heard it, I was kind of like, oh, really? This doesn't sound right. But the more I looked into it, the more I was like, oh yeah, it does make
yep.
sense.
Yep.
So so keep it moist. So
yeah.
We like that. Now it's funny because we talk about that adding humidity in the wintertime because
yep.
you're drying it out, especially gas furnaces,
yeah.
electric furnaces, they all dry it out.
Yeah.
But it's naturally drier
in the
wintertime, which
yep.
is one of the things we talk about with crawl spaces when people say, well, should we open or close our crawl spaces? Well, it used to be the rule of thumb was you closed it in the winter
mm-hmm.
so that your pipes wouldn't freeze, and
yep.
you open it in the summer. But the fact is that you're really better off to have it open in the winter. Really,
yeah.
you're better off just to have it sealed up.
Yeah.
Really, the truth
and
is when
it
all
yeah.
comes
yeah.
down to it. But you have a more favorable temperature for your crawl space and drier air
mm-hmm.
in the winter than you do in the summer. So
yeah.
it falls through. It's a double-edged sword,
yep.
right? So it's yep. good for you, but it's not good for the crawl space.
Right.
So, yeah. And of course, the house, you know, and it's my saying that I always like is that, yeah, it's wood. It's going to take on moisture. It wants to. It used to be a tree.
Yeah.
And it had moisture. And
yeah.
you don't want your crawl space too dry.
No.
And you certainly don't want your inside of your house too dry.
Yep.
I've seen several times where people have installed dehumidifiers in the crawl space to help dry it out, but they set it too low.
Yeah.
And the hardwoods gap.
Yeah.
And they spread out. And the people are like, what can I do about it? Nothing. Chances are it's never going to come back.
Yeah, that's the thing with hardwood floors is you got to have it at just the right perfect balance,
you do.
Right? You got to have it at just the right perfect balance, or if you've got, you know, a nice piano in your home, mm-hmm. those are really sensitive.
Sure.
Yeah. And so a lot of times, you know, wood floor installers will recommend that you go ahead and add a humidifier to your home. And you want something that's like a whole house humidifier.
Right.
You know, those little room by room humidifiers. They're definitely better than nothing,
right.
But to really get the humidity level right in your home, you're going to need a whole home humidifier.
Sure.
And it gets added into your HVAC system, and there's different styles. My favorite is a steam.
Steam, that's what I thought. That's the best, isn't it?
It really is. The steam humidifiers are the best, and they make your home more comfortable.
Sure.
And healthier.
And then there's some cautions with if they're in the attic.
Yeah.
So you have to have.
It's not my most favorite place to put a humidifier is in the attic, but there are ones that have like remote kits, right? So it can go into what would be like a water closet, and then you've got a hose that's going to take that steam and put it into the duct system.
Right.
So that way you don't have to have it exactly in your
attic.
That's
perfect. So the steam's always better than misting water.
So that is
important. Very cool. Well, Lauren, it's been very informative today. We've appreciated you coming on. We've missed you. We haven't seen you in a while, so we're glad you got to come
happy
in.
Happy to be here. Happy to be
here. So give the information about Acosta.
Absolutely. So Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. You can reach us at 704-527-1889, or you can always reach us online at acostainc.com.
Very good. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate that. And folks, we appreciate you listening, and we look forward to doing this again next week. We hope you'll remember that we believe that the most important kind of home improvement is the one that makes your home a happier place to live. Hope you work on that this week. I know we will. And we'll see you next week right here on WBT.